I like literature reading. I like to read all the different stories and different things. And I think one of the ones that I always liked was Charles Dickens, the character of Mark Catesby. He was a young man with courage and cheerfulness, but he was worried that he is cheerful only because of his circumstances are good. We're always happy when our circumstances are good too. Would his cheerfulness survive bad circumstances? Well, he wanted to find out. So Mark applied to be a grave digger. Now, that's not a very good career, but that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a grave digger, but they didn't need him. They didn't need a grave digger. So as the story unfolds, Mark encounters danger and discomfort on a trip through America, and yet his courage and cheerfulness wavered only a little bit. His strong disposition sustained him and also reinforced the courage that he had and for other people. Now, I think it's interesting that Dickens chose to place Mark Tapley in America to test his courage. But I get it, I think. Right now, the condition of America is testing our courage, too. Not only in America, but countries all around the world are being tested for their courage. So when you need a surge of fresh courage, don't open the story that Dickens wrote. No, open the Bible and take a look at the most familiar stories in the Bible. Now, I laid the groundwork a little bit in the first part of Luke chapter 2. The shepherds were outside Bethlehem. The shepherds were there with their flock. Now, we've been to Bethlehem quite a few times, and it is not a pretty place, so to speak. It's dusty, and it's rocky, and it's just not a great place to be. But that's where the shepherds were, in their fields. And the meadows and the sloping part and the way they could go around, you hear the sheep just making their little noises and so forth. But then something happened. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, there was shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were scared. That sudden appearance of angels often frightened the heroes of the Bible and other places in Scripture. When the angels come, and they kind of... Yeah, it terrified them. But, you know, I love the buts and the if. That blazing light that had filled the tabernacle and the temple, which would later appear on Mount Transfiguration when Jesus went on back to heaven. But even today, the fields outside of Bethlehem can be dark and spooky at night. There's no electricity. There was nothing but maybe little campfires here and there. So, I don't know about you, but where we live, if we hadn't put up some night lights and so forth, it's scary out there. It is pitch black. And that's the way it was then. So, that night, the entire area around the shepherds lit up like a Florida State football game. Boom! It was there. And the first four words of the messenger are what I want to share with you today. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Now, sometimes I think we need to imagine hearing these words spoken aloud and coming from heaven. Christians in our culture, especially at Christmas time, are often badgered, and we seem to be daunted by the devil. It seems like everything just falls apart at that particular time of the year. And then there's frightening things happening all around. And these are people who want to strong arm us into silence that can be threatening out there. But, I love the buts and the if, as you know, comes into the darkness, the angels show up, and the Lord says, "Do not be afraid." Now, there's a reason for this, I think. Your friend is here. Do not be afraid. The angel continued in verses 10 and 11, "I bring you good news that will come great joy for all people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, the shepherds didn't question the angels. They didn't go back into their nightly duties or stay frozen in fear. No, instead they said to one another in verse 15, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord had told us about." Now, I want us to realize that the terror of being told something like that, you don't have to be afraid. And then later on in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 23, we see the Lord affirm these truths about Jesus through the prophet Isaiah. He said, "The virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," being translated, "God with us." Can you imagine? God with us. When Jesus is here, fear has to go. That's what he did with the devil when he was in the wilderness those 40 days. He told the devil, and he kept teasing him and trying to get him to sin and bow down and worship him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." So when Jesus is with you, there is nothing to fear. So what do you have to fear if you're standing right close to Jesus? Storms? We know the story about out on the Sea of Galilee. I don't think so. Roman soldiers? Nah, not so much. Sickness? Nah, not really a problem. Not enough food? Jesus got that one covered too. Bad news. In Psalm chapter 112, verse 7 says of God's children, "They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." I love that hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." So what is it? You don't have to be afraid at all. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." So on the night that Jesus arrived, the angel went on to explain to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heaven host appeared with the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those who he favors." Wow. So heaven was bursting open. And those shepherds lived in very difficult times. And they still do. They're out there. They call them Bedouins now. They don't necessarily call them the shepherds, but they live out in the desert. It's not a very nice place to live. The shepherds were having difficult times, and they watched humanity suffer. They were victimized. They were diminished. They were berated. They were belittled. They were attacked. They were destroyed by wicked King Herod, who lived in the vicinity. But the angelic choir of thousands of voices told them to give glory to God because Jesus was here. And he already arrived right on schedule. I like that song. Jesus is always right on time. He wasn't far from them. And they would be in his presence in less than an hour. "We got to go and see this thing, Jesus the Lord." So do you think they hurried? I think they might have hurried. And I want you to know, too, that Jesus is here now with us. Now, he's not here in the physical sense, but he's here in the spiritual sense. And that's good news for the church. If we'll just embrace it like shepherds, Jesus is here and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Not in pandemics, we survived the pandemic. Not in elections, we survived many elections. Not in cultural shifts. Not amid persecution. Not in times like these that we live in now. Knowing Jesus and drawing close to him gives us a surge of courage that we need in order to stand in our faith. And as we stand in our faith, we provide a powerful testimony that can help others be set free from bondage. One of my favorite passages out of the Psalm is Psalm 46. And this is what it says. God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth will give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake while they're surging. There is a river whose streams made glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwell. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are uproar. Kingdoms fall, and he lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 7. So that's the good news. The good news of this particular time of the year that we're fast approaching. But every waking moment of our life, we have good news that Jesus won't forsake us through a supply of chain interruptions, government shutdown. Did we survive the government shutdown? Yeah. Jesus won't forsake us. God won't forsake us because of some of the knuckleheads that do what they do with foolish arguments and things in the public forum. And I always found that interesting. The ones that shut down the government still got their paychecks, although that's something that should be changed, that you got a congressman, you got a senator, and you need to call them up on the phone and say, hey, guys, you're going to shut down and take away all that stuff, and you don't get paid neither. But that's my humble opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But Jesus will not leave us on tough days. And he is here to stay, and he'll never, ever befriend us like they do on Facebook. He is your friend forever and ever. And he is our most ever-present friend. Not like Mark Tapley. We can be cheerful in times of good, in times of bad, and no matter where we are, we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. A little tidbit about next week, as I'm going to talk about Jesus as your majestic friend. How majestic is his name? Because certain occasions in life, they call for protocol. There's nothing wrong with that. Dignity and majesty. Weddings, for example, it's some truth that some people would just like to get married in very casual settings, maybe up on the steps of the courthouse, and then others, they like to have a big, grander wedding and a celebration and all of that, and it's good as long as it's a reverent ceremony. Military observance, demand a sense of decorum, inaugurations of any kind, formalities, to go into a Capitol building or a courtroom or even a massive cathedral and notice how all the architects are in a sense of grandeur and all their designs, and it's wonderful. But your friend Jesus is majestic, and he is your majestic friend. He is the King of Kings. He is Prince of Peace. He is the Lamb of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us, Lord and Savior, Alpha and Omega, the Good Shepherd, and more importantly, the Messiah. And you'll find challenging things in your life, always. But as long as your friend is with you, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you and give you hope and joy and peace and ability to keep on keeping on in Jesus' precious name.